deixar acontecer de forma tão natural. O que é bom vai chegar pra você. É só sintonizar. Me sinto leve sem saber porquê. E se me perguntar, eu não vou saber te dizer.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Checkbox episode 14. We are here with a very familiar face. What's going on over here, Purple? Kicking bottles under the table.
I do what I do.
We are here with a very familiar face. You guys recognize her. This is Mel, also known as Intuitive Vibes from episode 7.
Give it up.
What's good?
I'm so happy to be back. Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm so grateful.
Yo, you were a fucking hit. You were a fucking hit. Episode 7 was amazing. If you guys have not checked that out, episode 7, Polyamory, where she took us through her transition from monogamy to a polyamorous love style. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic. It was an hour and a half of straight insight. We were all intrigued. We got amazing feedback from that episode.
It's actually our most viewed video with 300 plus. So we want to thank y'all for that.
Yeah, seriously.
Thank you.
Some shit, man. Numbers, you feel me? That episode was fun, man. And
it was really fun.
You left us. You went to you went on a little trip to Asia. Not a little trip, but
I went on a big trip.
Yes. Yeah. How long was that?
I went for 2 months. Asia.
Eight whole weeks.
A little bit more than 2 months. So it was amazing. I went to Thailand, Singapore, Bali, and a few little other islands surrounding these places. And it was amazing. I'm excited to talk about it.
Honestly speaking, I do want to talk about it. But I want to mention, like, I was looking at your story. Every day, it was like a desktop post. Yeah. I swear to God, it was like a wallpaper that belonged on the fucking computer screen. Probably. I'm like, yo.
Must be nice.
Seriously, I'm like, yo, she's literally in paradise. Like, she is where all these fucking millionaire posts on Instagram, all these pages and shit, all these motivational shit. Like, she is exactly where they post the flicks of. Like, it was breathtaking, literally. Like, nearly every single one of your posts. I was taken away by them, man.
You can find them on Google.
Seriously. It was amazing.
Seriously.
See her just...
I went to go visit Melissa when she got back, just to, like, you know, just hear about her trip. Because again, like, we were all following her on IG. Her story was, her stories were just insane. I wanted to hear about it. And yeah, all those breathtaking pics, they were not easy. You told me that they were not easy at all to get to. Tell us a little bit about those, about those adventures. Like, how did you get to those places? Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Whew. Well, first of all, I'm happy that you guys can feel the energy that was being transmitted through those photos, because if you guys were breathtaking, you cannot imagine how I felt to be there in person. Most of the most beautiful pictures that I took was in Nusa Penida, which is a sister island. Nusa Penida. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that shit right, but...
for the editorial,
please don't. So, Nusa Penida is the sister island of Bali.
Uh-huh.
It's just a ferry ride away, but when I arrived to Bali, I was a little bit overwhelmed with all of the tourists, and I found that I kept wanting to escape and be by myself and deeply immersed in nature. So... I found myself in Nusa Penida, and it was so magical. Definitely not as many tourists there. You'll have more of a local experience. Mm-hmm. So to get to all the places on Nusa Penida, first of all, though, those roads are the craziest roads I've personally ever experienced in my life. You know, I know that there exist worse roads, but it felt like earthquakes just, like, rip through all those roads.
Yeah.
You know, and I was just on the back of a motorbike the whole time. Yikes. With my friend Katu, that I love.
Shout out to Katu.
Even though he wouldn't understand nothing of what we're talking about. But, you know, my Balinese friend, he was my taxi. And basically the places were like an hour away or an hour and a half away. And when there are multiple different places I could tell you guys about, but basically in Nusa Penida, if you want to get to the beautiful places, you have to fucking work for it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I went on some really scary hikes. Mm-hmm. that were really breathtaking left me speechless, but they were difficult. Yeah. And, you know, a little dangerous. Yeah. Sometimes I was in some dangerous situations.
Gotta be risky.
Yeah. So it's more fun that and way. For me, it was very empowering because I was alone and a woman and in a place that I don't know where I don't know anyone. And I was just going for it, you know? And then I ended up being secluded and having the places to myself usually or with very little people. So it was really amazing.
And that's something for me that, you know, I have a couple of friends. You're definitely one of them. I have a friend, Will, that, you know, not a lot of people are now going on vacations on their own, like our age, you know. And it's, you know, for me, I always found this something intimidating. But it is an empowering thing to go on vacation alone and have a place to yourself and be, like, with nature by yourself. And in a place so fucking gorgeous like that, I can just imagine.
How do you maneuver through, like, places, like, you know what I'm saying? Because you said you just kind of let yourself, you went deep, you know what I'm saying, and just kind of explored.
How'd you find your way?
How'd you find your way back?
How the fuck do you maneuver through that shit? Like, confidently and comfortably, you know what I'm saying? Because in the back of my head, I'm like, yo, I'm just be bugging out.
If the sun, like, goes down and, like,
by myself, if I'm with people, I would enjoy it. But by myself, I'd be like, holy shit, like.
Yeah, I mean, you have to basically be present in the moment. I didn't know any of the shit I was going to do. I arrived in Thailand and I didn't know where I was staying. So I literally didn't have anything planned except for my course. I did the bodywork training,
which we're definitely going to talk about.
And other than that, I didn't have anything planned, and everything always synchronized and aligned for me in the most, guys, for real, like, my mind is blown, still blowing from how much things just fell into place, you know. And it's just, I did research a lot, I'm not gonna lie, you know. I spent a lot of time putting into Google a bunch of different questions that I had.
That's smart.
About what, though? Like,
about, like, basically a lot of the things. Well, I wanted to find these secluded places. So of the times I was writing, like, you know, most secluded places in Bali or Nusa Penida or Thailand or wherever I was, and like reading a lot of people's experiences and what they did and how they got around or what they would have done differently and their feedback about it. So it was a lot of research, and also just a lot of trust. And there is a certain level of confidence you have to have in yourself, you know, to go through things like that.
Definitely.
Yeah, because I'm thinking here, like, you're literally halfway around the world. You had nowhere to sleep. Like, I'd be going nuts. Not that I wouldn't know how to contain myself, but, like, that's wild. Like, kudos to you, bro, but that's beast. Like,
yeah, one thing she mentioned, you know, being present in that moment. So, like, for example, you were talking about how you doing the same trip like that, taking that little trek out, like, an hour to get to this specific location, it would be better with more people, kind of thing. That's such a common thing for all of us. Like, for example, for me, I'm not gonna lie, that's one of the things, like, that makes me apprehensive to go on vacation by myself, because I enjoy the company of others. I enjoy you know, I feed off of the company of others. I feed off of other people's excitement and enjoyment, and it validates.
It helps me. It helps, like, as far as traveling goes.
Right.
I feel like when I go over there, I go anywhere and I go with people, it just, the excitement of it, and I just feel like being with somebody, it helps me bounce ideas around, you know what I'm saying? So if I'm with somebody, it's kind of like, all right, yo, what you think about this, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just super exciting, and I feel like when I'm with somebody else, it helps me get even better fucking ideas, right? Because people say shit, sometimes it'd be stupid shit, dumb shit, random shit, but, and then you'd be like, yo, all right, but that kind of fits with something like this, and it'll make you think of something, some other shit, you feel me? I don't know, I just, that's how ideas and creativity works for me. I mean, of course, I could be creative by myself, but it depends on how confident I am going into something, you know? So if I'm confident into going to something, then I'll be all right. But I love being with somebody else and being able to bounce ideas off each other and just be like, yo, how far can we fucking go?
And it also validates memories, too. Like, it does. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, so that's the one thing. But on the flip side, being alone, learning how to be alone and learning how to enjoy your own company, that's something that's different. Yeah. That's a little bit different. That's not common. That's something that I want to touch on a little bit later
on. I'm not going to lie, like,
lifestyle wise.
If we're going to talk about it, then I'll just mentioning over there. But I do have a question for you. So You said, you know, you got there, you wanted to be alone immediately. Was there ever a point where you wanted to be, like, with your wife or someone or just someone else? Like, just, did you ever want someone else's company to enjoy that moment with? Or it was just like, nah, I want this all for myself kind of thing?
No, guys. I really realized on this trip, though, that you're just never alone. you're just never alone for real, though. Like, for real.
Until you were alone.
Even when I was alone, though.
You got the monkeys down your back. And you,
I felt the pulsation of everything, yo. But, you know, for most of the time that I was in Thailand, because I was there for most of my time, I was there for like a month and a half. Mm-hmm. And I was doing body work every day. So I was receiving body work and I was giving body work and I was being touched every day and touching people every day. And this is a beautiful experience. But for me, it got kind of overwhelming because I was with people all the time, even though I was alone. And there was a lot of training involved and everything. Right. And then, yo, I made friends out there, you know? That's the thing. Yeah, like, I made actual connections.
Yeah.
And I made memories with these people, and they're so special to me. But by the time, at the end of all of that, I needed my space to process, which is what I feel like I needed. And I wanted deeply to feel what you just said, like, but by myself. Like, I wanted to see how far can I go by myself? Mm-hmm. You know, how courageous am I? Mm-hmm. And how much trust do I really have to go to a place and not know anything, not know the language, and not even know where I'm staying, not know what I'm doing, not know anything? And how can I just surrender to that?
And coming out of it is just like,
I can imagine.
Guys, seriously, it was magical. Like, things happened during my trip that I need to it's one after the other, after the other. It's just complete synchronicity. Where some of the things there's so many times where I was just crying. Like, when I was in Nusa Penida and I hiked my ass off, like, the scariest hike, and then got to the most gorgeous place that literally my breath, like, was taken out for me.
If you can give us that picture, we're totally going to put this on the video and stuff like that.
Yeah, that moment, yo, like, I was staring into the space, and I was just in awe. I don't think I've ever felt that much gratitude in my life. Like, guys, for real, the feeling of gratitude was pulsating in every one of my cells. I was just
crying. Is that gratitude for just being alive? Or just
being able to be there, gratitude for everything, man. Because by the end of my trip, right, like, I already had all these amazing experiences with the training and the people I met and everything I learned. And then to top it all off, I went into these beautiful, secluded places in nature. And so I was there. I was taking in the scenery, taking in the landscape, which by itself already transcended me. And then I was just reflecting back to the last 2 months that I had. And it was just bringing me to tears, you know? Like, it's impossible to not feel that much gratitude. I mean, I'm not going to say it's impossible. Yeah. For me, it's impossible.
That particular moment, was that when you were seeing the Milky Way? Was that the Milky Way one? Because, yo, that Milky Way picture, that, well, you can see kind of like the cross section of like the Milky Way from like,
I don't know if you've ever seen that. This is a nighttime picture we're talking about, right?
Yeah, this was totally a nighttime picture. Yeah. I believe it was a photographer friend that had taken it for you. Absolutely magic. I mean, it was like, I mean, again, it was one of those picturesque Windows desktop kind of things.
Like Photoshop?
Absolutely.
That picture, you guys have to put it up.
We're
because that picture was not Photoshopped. He actually edits his photos, but that was a raw photo. He sent it to me from his camera.
He's a nature
to
photographer,
my phone.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow. Absolutely.
I was gonna say, where was that one taken? That was out in Thailand?
That was in Nusa Penida.
That night was crazy. I remember the astronomy class. We saw that. We talked about that place.
Yeah.
But I forgot where it was.
Well, there are a couple different places. I know Hawaii you can also see it as well. Hawaii you could also see it. I think in different countries you could see it
from different places.
Well.
Yeah. I didn't know that was one.
Yo, imagine seeing something like that with the naked eye. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. That's why it's wild.
You can see the Milky Way pretty much everywhere. It's just depending on the season and the light pollution and what time of year it is, and everything. You can see it here in New York if you go to.
I see it sometimes when I go home too at night when I park my car. I can see the stars because I'm like in the woods where I am now. But yeah.
Type shit. So you mentioned pollution really quick, and I think during my admiration, I guess, of your stories, I saw that you posted, I think you were in Thailand, they sort of burned the forest, if I'm not mistaken, or they burned something that sort of made the air like a yellowish tint. Am I saying it correct? Like, yeah? Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because when I read that, I'm like, I don't even know this even happened. Over. I don't even know.
I didn't know either. I did not.
You're ready picture. For like this, like, breach.
That was the only, yo, that was literally the most negative photo she posted, bro, her whole trip. So it kind of like, that stuck with me. I was like, damn, like, she's having such a fantastic time and then boom, this bullshit happens. Like, I know she's tight. But so what was that exactly?
Well, when I arrived there, some people that live in Thailand told me that they were leaving Thailand because it's burning season. And I was like, what the fuck is burning season? I didn't know what burning season was, you know. So they told me that it's when the farmers do agricultural burning. So they're burning the crops around the surrounding mountains. But they're also burning plastic. They're burning the garbage. Mm. And also there's wildfires. So because it's winter time there. Well, it was. It's transitioning. So it's dry season. So the thing is, Chiang Mai, the city that I was in, is in a valley. And there's surrounding mountains. So around the surrounding mountains, it's all that burning. And because it's dry season, it didn't rain since November. Mm. And I was there in February and March. And March is the worst time. So progressively, it got worse over the weeks that I was there. Mm. And I was there during peak burning season. Chiang Mai actually got awarded the most polluted city in the world while I was there. Uh-huh. While I was there.
Being part of that.
Yeah, it was like, it was very intense, guys. I would open up the door in the morning and I could barely see the sun because it was just smog.
How did you breathe?
And at some point, I couldn't breathe. And I had to wear a mask. So because I was riding my bike every day, so I rode my bike from where I was staying to the course or everywhere. So, you know, like, I had to wear a mask and people got sick too, you know, like I was getting a headache. I couldn't really think. I was lethargic. Yeah. It really wasn't
a good hazmat experience.
Yeah. No, I know that is like an agricultural practice. So that's been done for like, you know, many years that they would burn the crops. Yeah, it's a very old way of like, you know, refertilizing the ground and stuff like that.
The problem is the plastic.
I didn't know that they did the plastic as well. Like, that's just shitty.
But actually the agricultural burning is a very outdated practice. You know?
It is. It's very archaic.
Not good for the environment at all. So, you know, I'm just sending some good energy to them and hope that they can find a better solution because basically the smog gets trapped in Chiang Mai until it starts to rain again.
And then it comes down on you as acid rain.
Hey. Yeah.
I heard about that in third grade. I know that's random, but like some kid did like a science project on acid rain, and it scared the shit out of me for a long time.
Yeah, I know. Acid rain comes with some, the water vapor, and then like all the chemicals just like, you know, it's terrible. Dissolve in solution.
Did they smoke a lot? I feel like because I was having a conversation with one of my boys who actually backpacked Asia from November to November to January, and he was like, "Yo, bro." He was going through a pack a day himself.
Oh, wow.
Basically, like, he visited all over Asia. Like, he literally took planes to different places. So, like, how was that? Like, were people just smoking bogs all day, every day around you? Or
no,
maybe
actually.
Maybe not the people you were with, being that, you know what I'm saying? I'm not sure if body workers smoke because, you feel me? Like,
no, I don't know. I didn't really notice that so much, especially in Singapore. Yo, you get, like, fucking your head chopped off for smoking in Singapore.
That was really interesting.
Singapore is a really bizarre place. Really?
Is it? Fucking real estate market over there is insane.
They are really rich.
Singapore is like it's like a free market capitalist wet dream. No regulation.
Yo, bro, real estate is nuts over there.
You can do whatever you want, business wise.
Really, business wise. Well, anything else wise, you cannot.
Yeah. She was telling me about all the like the rules and shit, like compared to like all the other places. Tell us about that. Tell us,
please. I want to hear about that.
Can you imagine? I was in Thailand. I was in Chiang Mai. You know, it's a very free city. A very spontaneous city, at least in my opinion. And, you know, it was a little rugged.
This was Thailand, right?
This is Thailand, Chiang Mai. Yeah. You know, it's a little rugged. Like, there is no sidewalk. Yeah. Basically, for you to cross the street, you have to just walk your ass across the street and, like, make everybody stop the car. Wow. But they do it happily. You know, they stop and they're whatever. And you go. But then after that, I had a little break in between my course. So I went to Singapore to the Singapore Zouk Festival.
Hey.
And Singapore was like the complete fucking opposite of Chiang Mai. It's a very efficient city, very organized. The cleanest city I've ever seen in my entire life. Wow. The architecture. Yeah, it's like insane. It's insane. Not surprised at all. But everything is illegal there. Everything. Everything is illegal. Yo, chewing gum is illegal there.
You're lying.
Nah. I swear on my life, yo.
Gum is like
you guys
coke?
Need to look this shit up. This is real. Yes. You chewing gum is illegal. Like, you can go to jail for up to 2 years for smuggling gum into the country.
That's nuts.
2 years for smuggling gum?
Yo, it's illegal to not flush the toilet. It's illegal.
In honor of Singapore, let's pass around the illegal contraband here.
Oh,
let's do it. Tried it. We thugging out.
Singapore.
Oh, I got some five on me, too.
Yo.
And I didn't believe that.
That's wild.
But
did you test the waters? Did you chew some gum?
No, I'm not trying to get fucking caned. Yo, they literally will cane you out there.
Yo, what up?
So what's the caning situation?
Yo, what, up?
What is caning?
They whip your ass with the cane.
So they have police officers out there that if they see you doing some shit,
sounds like a whip.
That's they're not about to like just cane you on the street. Oh. It's like a, you know, you go through the legal system and they can sentence you to being caned.
Oh, it's not like that's a street awful. Justice oh thing. It's nah, like nah, it's like nah, a nah. process.
And break a bone, break your bones and shit.
No, like whip your ass with the cane. Like
that's gonna break a bone.
That will. Rip your skin and like make you bleed. I don't know.
That's
about
crazy, bro.
If it's like a baton,
I don't know.
Well, hit your bone, I don't know if you guys ever remember this. No, it's a cane. I don't even. I honestly don't know. I didn't know that any of this shit existed for real.
Cane. I'm assuming some hard shit to break your foot.
I don't know. I just know that it's like some torture type of shit. You know.
Maybe we'll get a video of that and check out.
No, what yeah, let's not put a video yeah, of people getting caned.
I want to. I'm curious.
I know you. I know you are. Shit. But fucking watching your damn self on your own time.
All right.
You
know I know. I know the viewers want to see. Okay, never mind. Anyway, so you mentioned that you were what you call it? You went to Singapore for a Zouk conference
festival.
Oh, something like that. Yeah. How was that?
It was dope. It was really dope. I had a good time. Yeah. I danced a lot. I was very tired. And it was that. Singapore was cool. I feel like the festival itself was cool, but I kind of wanted to leave Singapore.
Gotcha.
You know, it wasn't... I mean, I'm not knocking Singapore, though. Singapore is a beautiful city. I feel like if any
urban... the city, I kind of want to go there just see what they chew gum. Test it out.
Nah, it's like...
How sanitized are you, really?
It is very sanitized.
Now, I really want to see that. I really love to see that.
It's illegal. It's like against the law to not flush a toilet.
What's going on over there?
Oh,
bro?
You mentioned also the being naked in your own house.
Yes, it's illegal to be naked in your own house.
You can't be naked in your own house.
It's illegal to jaywalk. What else?
It's illegal to jaywalk.
It's illegal to like smoke near anything, basically. So
what can you do?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
you know what's funny
too?
Singapore is ranked like from an economic standpoint is ranked number one in the entire world.
I believe that.
Yet on a social level, you can't chew gum. Like that's the most funny, like the most ironic thing.
Maybe that's the price of. Maybe
that's
the price.
No, I think it is the price of that economic freedom.
It is.
Yo, Cribs out there, you go for like $21 million. That's like regular money.
I own a couple.
Well, basically Singapore.
What is GTA 5? Right? Not 4, it's 5. Yeah, I don't think you can own Cribs in 4. Oh yeah, you got the online. So that's 5. Yeah, GTA 5. You got like a Lambo and a Bugatti too, right?
I got all that, bro.
Thanks.
I got all that.
No, just, what was I saying? Singapore? Man, I don't even know.
This nigga perv. Damn it, HP. What the fuck?
What's going on over here, man?
What?
Oh, this guy's talking about GTA.
Oh, Singapore, the gun.
Singapore.
Basically, I don't know what it is. A president, a prime minister, I don't know. The owner of Singapore basically said,
for lack of a better terminology,
that, you know, ain't nobody gonna be plastering their fucking gum in my city, you know, because somebody threw their gum on the floor, and then he was like,
fuck that,
we're banning gum, and then that's it.
When?
Yo, they don't even have it at the 7-Eleven, yo, that's so weird. Imagine, they have 7-Eleven, yo, they have 7-Eleven everywhere, 7-Eleven is everywhere.
They got taquitos?
What?
They got taquitos? At the 7-Eleven thing?
Nah, they have some other shit. But they didn't have gum, they just had a whole big ass row of mints.
Yo, speaking of food, though. I'm starving. Food is so important. How was the food? How was the food across these countries?
I want to hear it.
That is super important.
Just pulling leaves and shit.
That is super important.
Right off the tree.
It was amazing. Thai food is delicious. Thai coconuts are so good.
Oh, I love coconuts.
Oh my god. Oh my god. I was having like three coconuts.
Wait, they have mat like is that like they have mat like coconuts, is that like a common thing over there?
Yeah.
Holy like, shit.
It's so delicious.
Yeah, I love coconuts.
Nah, me too.
I love coconuts.
I fucking love coconuts. Yeah, I would have been going crazy.
Thai was
going
crazy.
Yeah,
Thai coconuts.
But the Balinese ones.
So Thai coconuts, not Balinese.
The Balinese coconuts, I mean, I don't know.
They're putting us on to the game. Like, see, this is the type of info I need.
Exactly. Don't drink a Balinese coconut. I mean, no offense to Balinese coconuts. No offense to Balinese coconuts.
You're
going to
get a bunch of
DMs.
You have to have one, so. Okay.
It's my first one. Won't be Balinese.
I'm going to try it. I'm interested in the Balinese coconut still.
You should do it. I mean, live your life.
Deadass.
Live your life.
I'm not, you know what I'm saying?
HB the coconut connoisseur.
I'm just saying, like, it's kind of sour, and it just doesn't have, like, a
sour coconut?
I don't know. It just doesn't taste right. Yeah. I don't know.
But,
it'd be like that, but the rest of that food, though.
The rest of the food was delicious. It was really delicious. Yeah. It was very cheap. You know, I was having some food for, like, $1 or $2, a big-ass meal.
That's
American dollars?
That's what's up.
American dollars.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay,
yeah.
That's what's up.
Two beans.
I like eating on the cheap.
Beans.
Well, wait, beans. Since this, do they have, like, this is a random question, now I'll get off the random tangents. Fucking, do they have, like, special, like, coconut desserts or anything like that?
Yes, they did. Oh, my God. It was so good. They had, like, very delicious, different kinds of desserts. They also had, like, scorpions and shit.
Oh.
Would you guys eat a scorpion?
No.
I would do it, like, if like it was, like, scorpion? Deep fried.
Real ass scorpions.
With coconut
Where
flakes?
Are the pictures?
Like deep fried? Yeah.
Fried.
We'll put it
out. Oh, fried.
No, it's like, you know, if it's, like, you know, like, sketchy. I mean, I want to get into that too. Fried, you know?
They were just, like, a row of scorpions, like,
on a stick.
Did you eat one?
On a skewer stick?
Did I eat one? No, but Nick did, and I watched that whole show and recorded the whole thing. And it was, an experience, you know?
How was the flavor?
He said that it was crunchy.
No, I mean...
But he didn't really describe the flavor so much. He said it was all right.
Yeah, he was lying for the camera. That's why he wanted to throw it up.
I mean, I definitely wouldn't eat a scorpion, but...
Nah, but that's...
It was a fun experience to watch him eat it.
That's so dope, though. That's
that
so
sounds
dope.
Wild, to be honest. I mean, that's
terrible.
Nah, I'm just really happy you did that trip and you just experienced that. You got to... really, the next segment, I really want to talk about your body work, like what you do, you know, what your career is, you know, really working with other people, working... And I see you a lot, like, with yourself as well. And I think, you know... Both of those things are very important in what you do. And just expand on that and what you learned in on your trip, how you expanded on that. But first, how you got into it. So we're going to start that next segment. And yeah.
Yeah, you heard it from Alec, man. I'm going to have Fireboy DML take you out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Called Jealous. Oh, by the way, all of these songs, except for the closing one, you know what I'm saying, is from this mind over here.
Yes, yes.
All right, y'all already know, man.
Enjoy.
Just one test and I'm wanting more, shawty. What you give me is not enough. You don't tell me you know I'm falling. What can you give me? Nothing enough. Oh baby, I'm getting jealous. Don't wanna see you with anybody. Yo, I'm getting jealous already. You. I'm getting jealous. Don't wanna see you with anybody. Yo, I'm getting jealous already. You. I'm getting addicted, oh no. I'm getting addicted, oh baby.
Welcome back to the checkbox once again. That was Jealous by Fireboy DML. And for those joining us, welcome to the checkbox. We have a familiar face back on set. Mel, what is going on?
What's poppin'?
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Pleasure to have you back. Quick reminder, guys, do not forget about the giveaway we got going. It is a collaboration between us and Nessa CX Beauty. Two lucky winners can win a Bulldog Skincare for Men grooming kit. It includes some beard oil, a nice beard comb, some facial wash, some face lotion, all of that good stuff. I actually use the products myself, so it's pretty good. And then a James Charles Morphe palette from the Nessa CX Beauty side of things, guys.
Apparently, that's highly coveted. Yeah,
yeah, I've been hearing a lot of good things about them. Also, guys, here's the directions. Really quick instructions. Go to the checkbox store. You're going to see this post. All we need you to do is repost on your story with the hashtag TCBXNB giveaway. And for an extra, basically to put your name in the ballot twice, subscribe to us on YouTube, Nessa CX Beauty, and at the checkbox. You already know what it is, and then we will announce the winner May 15th via an IGTV post.
For those subscriptions, just make sure you DM us a screenshot. Yes. You can DM the checkbox, screenshot yep. of just like both of those subscriptions for that second entry, all right?
Mm-hmm. So sorry about that, guys. I missed that part.
No, you valid.
Word. So for those
figure it the fuck out.
I know, right? So for those joining us now, we have gone over Mel's trip to Asia. Okay, she was giving us some insight as to how the trip was. We ended out with food. You mentioned how your boy Nick ate some scorpions.
He did.
Oh, my God.
It was
a crunchy texture, too, man. Yeah. That's
crunchy.
I'm not sure if I can do that.
Living on the fucking edge. Yeah.
But living it up. We're going to get into the reason why you went on this beautiful trip, and that was for what you call body work, okay? Because to my knowledge, you're a massage therapist. Yeah, so how about you tell us how you got into this whole massage therapist industry and then what basically led you to take this trip to Asia to enhance your work?
And what body work consists of.
Yeah.
Give us a spiel.
This is a really meaningful topic for me. So I feel really happy to have the platform to speak about it.
Mm-hmm.
I get asked this question often, so I've been able to narrow it down because there's so many reasons I feel like I was guided towards doing this kind of work, but I think one of the most impactful things was my own family, and I have healers in my family. They don't call themselves healers, but they do facilitate healing for people in a way that really blew my mind growing up. Because it was, well, my grandmother and my aunt specifically have a very deep connection to whatever you want to call it, whether it's God, mm-hmm. universe, the divine source of all that is.
Quick, is that the Dominican side of your family?
The Dominican side of my family.
Figured that.
And they've been able to attune themselves to this energy that allows them to create a space for people for them to heal. And, you know, when you're growing up and you're seeing things that you've been taught that's impossible, but you're seeing it in front of your eyes, it really makes you curious about what are we missing?
Yeah.
What are we missing? Because the medical industry has become so westernized and is very useful. I'm not knocking it. I really do believe
I thank you for like acknowledging that it does, you know, yeah, do something. Because a lot of people are just like all or nothing when it comes to it.
No, I feel like the it serves a complete purpose, and I'm grateful for it. You know, there's certain things that we wouldn't be able to achieve without it. So that's definitely a really important point that I want to point out. But my feeling is that we've become imbalanced with it because we've only seen that perspective
to the point that
we see anything else as impossible, and not only impossible, but as like weird quackery.
Yeah, we become xenophobic towards any sort of other alternative.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Yeah. And, you know, so my grandmother prayed, and I have my godmother that she would even be able to speak about this experience. She had lupus, an autoimmune disease that is basically your body is allergic to itself, you know, and there's no cure. And it got so bad one time that she was desperate and she asked my grandmother, okay, fine, pray for me. And she prayed for her. And ever since that day, she's been lupus free. That was more than 25 years ago plus. Okay.
How interesting.
There's other situations like this that happened where my aunt, there was a lady that had cancer, was about to get a double mastectomy the next week.
Mm-hmm.
And, She also, you know, was like, I don't know what to do. I'll try anything at this point. Mm. My aunt did whatever she does. And she went the next day for her surgical prep. Mm-hmm. And the tumors were gone. So they canceled her surgery. And, you know, nobody has to believe these things. But if you're asking me personally, mm-hmm. what is my drive is that I believe in the things that I have experienced because it's my truth. Mm-hmm. And it's the truth that I've seen come alive for other people. So, you know, I grew up like this, having this side of my family that is really in touch with that aspect. And then my father has a very logical and linear way to do things. He's very much in touch with physics, and he's a computer programmer, and he studies this deeply. So he always taught me about the tangible world and also like how science fits into everything.
The details of the physical
world. Right. So I had this very spiritual side, and then I had this other side that was very scientific growing up. I think that's
a beautiful mix.
It's gorgeous.
It is.
It's like,
it is.
When I have conversations with Mel, I mean, like, we just vibe in, like, we just sit down in her.
I knew it was
coming. No, we just sit down in her, what you call it, in her living room, like, with the blue lights on, and just start talking science, because, you know, I'm a science guy. Really? She again has that sort of hybrid quality to her because she understands both sides because she came from that, you know. And so it's always a trip talking to her. It's really fun. But yeah, so
it's a beautiful chaos.
That's awesome. Yeah. But one thing I want to point out is that like these two sides, right? They're both looking at the same world.
Right.
They're both looking at the same world, and yeah, it's just amazing how two different people can view the same thing. Right. The realities are different, and therefore how they interact with the realities and how they feel like they can influence the realities, or their power to influence the realities, come from very different places. Yeah, they come from very different places. I find that fascinating.
Just being able to understand that people have their own reality.
Y'all keep saying reality, because I was going to mention it earlier when you was like, nobody has to believe what I'm saying. But I believe it.
Yeah, I believe
it. And I was literally about to say it. It's your own reality. And it brought me back to the conversation Alec and I had a couple of days ago regarding this theory of basically...
What are you talking about? You're talking simulation theory?
Yeah, the simulation theory.
Right.
And basically, just to sum it all up, you were telling me like you literally create your own reality based off of your experiences and what you believe in. If you can say, you can sit here and say, I saw this happen. I know this is true. That is your reality. You know, and no one can tell you otherwise, bro. Like,
yeah. So this is something that, you know, hopefully in a recent upcoming episode, you know, where we talk video games with a high profile gamer, hopefully if we get that, we're definitely gonna be talking about simulation theory and what he thinks about it. But it's a very old idea that, the most real things are our ideas, are what our mind creates, right? It's old, and it sounds something very Matrixy, right? But, and again, we're going to talk about this in another episode, but it's the old debate whether does matter create the mind, or does mind create matter? So that's essentially the gist of that. We're totally going to bring that. It's as old as Plato and Democritus, bro. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, can we have a 12-hour episode? The episode's 12 hours long, and we debate this?
Yeah, no, for sure. But again, we want to get a little bit back into Mel and her... And the healing that she does and the healing that she performs, and take us from there, from your family. Who were you before this, and then who are you after, and then guide us through that.
Well, I feel like I've always been a very sensitive person. So, you know, ever since I was a young girl, I had extrasensory abilities and be able to tap into different realms, and this was actually encouraged by my family, you know, because they believed in my gifts. So I had that side, that, and also I had a lot of different experiences, a lot of dark experiences as well with this kind of thing, but we're bringing it back all into the light. I had that side. I was always very sensitive, and because of that other scientific side, I was always very intrigued. And so when I was little, I used to say I wanted to be a doctor. I used to watch like surgical shows and things like this and be super, super, super like intrigued by that. But anyway, you know, through my years as a teenager. I've always been very studious and on my own time, not like school shit on some, like, I am so curious about life. Yeah. I want to know, and I'm going to go and see where it leads me. Mm-hmm. And I feel like massage therapy just sort of happened in my life. You know, I also had some traumatic experiences. I was sexually abused, and that created some really negative touch experiences for me. So for me, when I decided to go to massage therapy school, which, again, it just happened naturally. People were saying to me, you should do this because you're good at it. And mm-hmm. I would massage people. And I've always been a very affectionate person.
When was this?
This was when I was 18. So when I was 18, I decided to go to massage therapy school. I went to Swedish Institute in New York City. It's the only school in the country that gives you a degree for massage therapy. It's like a very prestigious school. Like I'm such a proud alumni of Swedish for sure. Holy shit, that's crazy. It was a 2.5-year program.
Wow. Okay.
And there I got some really intense training on like anatomy, physiology, neurology, pathology. You know, all the things.
So you got into the sciences.
You know, I got into the sciences.
Was that like a full-time thing? I'm really interested in that. Holy shit, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, it was a full-time thing. So I really delved deep. Actually, more than I fucking thought. God, I did not know it was going to be that intense.
You thought it was going to be like, oh, fuck it.
Like,
you know.
I know. I knew there was things to learn for sure, but I felt like I was in pre-med or some shit. Like, I was just like, what is happening right now?
All those ologies.
And then they had, like,
damn, I got to do work.
Internships, externships. Yeah. It was so amazing. You know, I got to learn about Western techniques, mm-hmm. you know, like Swedish deep tissue. You know, stuff that people usually hear about when you relate to massage, sports massage, these kinds of things. Yeah. But when I was in school, I fell in love with the Eastern side and the Eastern philosophy and the Eastern body work, like shiatsu, which comes from Japan, and Thai massage, tuina, these different types of modalities. And this for me was very intriguing because I feel like anatomically speaking and I can have a very, like, focused mind. So I understood the anatomy and all of those scientific aspects of it. But the poetic side of Eastern philosophy and how, like, it just blows my mind. It's so old. It's so ancient. The things that they knew back then are now being proven, you know, as far as the meridians in the body and the energy lines and how everything connects. And, yo, it's just such an amazing thing to me. The body work itself is different because, so body work, when I refer to body work in this context, I'm relating to massage. Mm-hmm. But for me, I like this word because it feels more encompassing because massage therapy kind of has a dry feeling to me. Personally, I don't know why, but it just does. So yeah. I like this word.
Yeah, I was gonna say, body work is probably like massage squared. Type shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, massage, you know what I'm saying? It's more than a massage. Maybe,
it's more than a massage, for sure.
This is more spiritual.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. For me, we're talking about me. I don't know how everyone else uses this word, but
it flows, though. It makes sense.
I like it.
Body work.
So the difference between, let's say, shiatsu or Thai massage or, like, a regular Swedish deep tissue session that you would get, like, at a massage place or a spa, those are usually done on the table, and you're usually naked or close to naked underneath a sheet, and you have oil, and we perform these techniques on you, and this is really beneficial for multiple different things, you know, like, stress relief, tension, injuries,
circulation.
For sure, yeah. They're increasing flexibility. Assisting
people.
There's so many things.
Yeah.
So there's that aspect of it, but for me, because it's on the table, and I feel like it's not as intimate as Thai massage or shiatsu is, which is done on the floor.
Okay.
It is done clothed. But what I love about it, first of all, the theories and philosophies, guys, you guys should really look into this, you know, like, it is really mind-blowing, just Eastern medicine in general.
There's philosophy on it?
Philosophy and there's theory and there's, like, an actual Eastern medical system.
I can't imagine what form that takes, like, it's, you know, like...
It's amazing.
No, because I follow, like, I'm into, like, from an athlete's point of view, just from being an athlete, like, I was always so intrigued in being able to diagnose myself, being able to say, all right, how can I know what's wrong with me and how can I know what steps to take? And following a lot of, like, sports-related people on Instagram, like, this is one guy, Dr. Heenan, he's on Instagram. Sometimes he refers to different philosophies and stuff like that, and it's just crazy to me. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people that are really into this shit, like,
another world,
they'll pull references from all types of different shit and be like, yo, this is, he refers to Chinese medicine a lot too, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's pretty wild, you know what I'm saying? And that's why I guess that's why I'm so interested in it too, because that shit's amazing to me, honestly. The fucking body is nuts.
Is amazing. Yeah. Chinese medicine is really blows my mind for real.
I was gonna say about the Chinese in my sport, weightlifting. They the Chinese use cupping. I don't know if you've ever had experience that's a Chinese thing. No, I'm saying, but they. Practice? I don't know. I mean, I know they practice it like a lot, like because they wear their athletes like out because their athletes are amazing. But they use like cupping like every week or something like that. So they'll post photos where it's just these big boulders on their back, on their chest.
Yeah.
But apparently it helps them recover.
Yeah, I was saying
a lot of athletes do that now.
But I'm saying like especially for weightlifting, it's like a big thing that they emphasize.
I think what
cupping
the,
is like the main way of recovery.
Yeah. I think the principle behind that is the to bring the blood to that one area so that it, again, all the reparative processes actually kind of just bringing all those things together there. Very interesting stuff. Yeah, it does make sense. It's very practical. But I find that super fascinating. I mean that, you know, there is another world out there, and the fact that you were exposed to that, and then you again, you're so young still. You're so young. You still have so much more to go. And like, so you went to school, and this is actually where you met Nick too, right?
I met Nick there.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember Nick. Sweet. This is little boo, dang. Yeah.
Well, Nick from episode 7. He's my boo, but we friends.
Your boo That's friends. My whatever, boo friends. Whatever.
Boo Y'all friends. All my boo.
Boo friends. Yeah. I hate names, you but you know how to.
Fuck a label. Fuck a box, yo.
Fuck a label.
Fuck it.
So you had great experiences there, and then you started working right after. Yeah, how was that? How you was like working actually?
Yo,
out
I,
there? Like
I well
oh, oh no no like, this actually, is like right after oh, like right after, like, after, school after graduation.
So basically,
like
okay, I fell in love with the Eastern side of everything, but you know I've always been very very thorough with my work, anatomically speaking, but. What I loved about this other perspective was that it encompassed not only the physical, which I feel like a lot of Western medicine does just focus on the physical body. Like, okay, you have tendonitis here, so we're just going to treat it here. And then it's very segmented, I feel.
Right.
And what I loved about the Eastern body work and philosophy is that it's very holistic. So once I finished school, I already knew what I wanted to do. And, you know, I just went for it. So I started my own practice almost right away, but then I also worked in several different places. I worked in a spa, I worked in a corporate gym. I worked more in like a chiropractic setting. I had my own office there, so I got to work with doctors. It was amazing. I learned a lot in those experiences. And at the last place I worked at a very, very high-end spa where I got to learn Thai massage. And that for me was, it changed my life because my teacher, Ryoko, she's from Japan. And if she watches this, yo, I love you. But I got a chance to train with her privately. So I had a private instructor in Thai massage for months. And just her way of seeing the world in general was so inspiring to me. Mm-hmm. But learning that body work shifted everything for me. So once I left that place, which was already like, I think I've been doing... I think I'm about to reach my, I'm about to be 26. So it's been 6 years that I've been doing body work now. Wow. I've been doing massage therapy. It's really special to me. But
sort
so
of like you were barbering too. I've been cutting hair for like 6 years.
Oh, that's dope. I learned Thai massage from her. And then from there is actually from when I learned about Thai massage in Swedish Institute, I already knew I wanted to go to Thailand. Mm. So that was already sparked 8 years ago.
Mm.
And so many things just needed a line for me to be ready for that trip.
Yeah.
So, you know, I started working at this point, if we fast forward, like I've been working these 6 years, really devoted. You know, I really study. I really put all of my soul into this kind of work.
I was going to say, like for you to have that, like, that kind of job out the gate, it kind of says something, because it's like they're trusting you, you know, someone who didn't have, I mean, you probably had some experience before you had the job.
Yeah. No, but I, like, had a few other jobs before that one.
Okay, like in that industry.
Yeah, in the
okay.
industry.
But even still, like, to just have that, you know, as much experience as you had already, like, that's kind of amazing.
It's like,
it just
yeah.
shows the dedication you have to it.
Man, I feel so grateful, man. I really put, like I said, a lot into it, and I've had some really cool experiences. You know, I've worked for some pretty cool people. I've got to, you know, like, work on presidents and celebrities and athletes and all this kind
dead
of
ass.
Thing. Yeah, I'm dead ass.
What president?
I do have a contract of confidentiality, but I'm gonna tell you though, that shit was like a movie. It was like a movie straight up.
Wait, is it an American president?
It's not an American president.
Okay, that's it. That's
okay. Right.
But it's another very, very big country.
Okay.
But anyway, you know, I've got to work with really amazing people, but my, where am I going with this? I, at this point, have a practice that's sustaining me. Okay. It's sustaining me and my wife, you know, sustaining everything that I'm doing. And I feel really grateful because this is my service to the world. And just to make things, clear, you know, I don't consider myself a healer. You know, I'm just a facilitator and I'm holding space for somebody to heal themselves, because I do believe in each person's innate ability to heal themselves. And basically, the body work itself, it really helps to unravel the layers of oneself, you know? And I don't think that we realize how touch-deprived we are as a society, and how important this is.
Yeah,
and how much, for me, just going to massage school and being touched helped transform my experiences and my traumas, because I had negative experiences with touch.
That
so I got to experience...
Which is the important part.
Yeah, I got to experience the contrast, man. And that, for me, was like... What? It
that
helped
is,
me heal at such a deep
it's
level.
It's interesting how you emphasize the importance of this too, because I know you remember too, Miller would bring it up all the time. He said how there's been even a study too that the most successful teams, like competitive, like the Warriors and shit like that, they touch each other. They have a lot the most physical contact.
Uh-huh.
So you look at teams like the Warriors and like fucking Yankees.
I think it was the Spurs,
you know what I'm saying?
That he had used.
No, it was a whole, like, they
that doesn't matter.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, that's like a lot
all
of successful teams. You know,
yeah.
They have a lot of physical contact, so it just goes back to the importance of touch.
Yeah.
It's extremely important. There's been studies that have been done on babies on this that are actually kind of really sad.
I actually learned this like probably about a couple months ago that that's why fathers hug their children with no shirt, because that skin to skin contact is like essential to the relationship. I never knew that.
They did. They actually did a study with. With monkeys, actually, where they had an actual monkey with the kids, and then they had the like a mother, like a wire mesh mother. They had like a wire mesh mother, like, you know, instead, and they monitored the baby's development and growth and stuff like that. Drastically different. It's amazing that correlation that we see in different places, you know, with touch and stuff like that. Obviously, it's something that, you know, I mean, modern day, especially in urban settings, you know, touch is something that's like, you know, we all want our personal space kind of thing. Everything that's such a big thing with us,
touched.
You know.
Well, I mean, city folk in general.
Right. Even then, like, you know, like sometimes, like, you know, when you meet someone, like, you know, like when I met some of your friends, you know, they're like, oh, I'm a hugger. Like, I'm gonna hug. Like, you had to announce that. It wasn't like, when in reality, when you guys see each other, it's just like, you don't say anything. It's just boom. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, so there is a difference with that. And that does show, you know, when it comes, you know, I noticed that. I don't have so much. That's something I do want to ask, though, is like, how do we feel about touch? How do we, like, how do you.
I have a funny story about that, actually.
How do you feel about touch? Like, what's your relationship with that?
I mean,
like, are you?
I don't got a problem with it, to be honest. I feel like some actions of touch do come at certain times in a relationship. You feel me? Like, I know me personally, when I meet new women, I don't give them a hug. I shake their hand. Hey, how's it going? Maybe by the end of the night, depending on how the night went, based on conversation, then I might give them a hug.
Yeah.
And then I might even extend a kiss on the cheek. It really depends all. But that's just regarding women. As for guys,
I'm going to start doing that too.
I'm the type of woman, like Spanish woman, is just, culture too.
Well, not even women. So I mean, let's even like
even with my dudes. Like that, when I meet dudes for the first time, I usually bring them in. Like I don't have a problem bringing dudes in. You feel me? But there'd be some dudes who'd be like, right, sniff on me. I kind of get bothered. Sure. I hate that shit because I'm like, yo, my man's bring me in, pop. Like, you feel me? Like, yeah. I'm already calling him. I'm saying like, what's up, my brother? Already, like I'm trying to bring it in.
You're trying to establish some sort of.
I'm all for touch, man. I'm all for.
Some dudes, you got a firm handshake, look him in the eye, and be like, I ain't playing, yo. Like, dude.
So, yeah, I feel like stiff. Depending on the situation is what's gonna.
You gotta hit him with the.
For me, that's me though. That's my look. Like that's my look. Ken, what do you got, bro?
I would say for me personally, like, all right. So when I was a teenager, I did jiu-jitsu a lot, right? And wrestling in high school and stuff like that. So just I'm used to being in people's personal space a lot.
Yeah.
And for some reason, like, I guess I still have that habit. I really do have this problem where I violate people's personal space.
Yo.
And I don't even notice it.
He be blowing
my so like and for me it's like,
I can see it though. I can see it but I don't get bothered by it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like this. Like if someone did it to me, it's like something like I don't care. But like I have to like I don't realize sometimes that other people just don't like because they're like weird out by it. They're like, what the fuck? Why are you so close to me, man? Yeah. What the fuck? Like for me it's just like it's fine if you're close to me. Like, you know, unless I don't like you, then get away from me. But I'm saying like if I'm that close to you anyway, I probably like you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, like, I've, like, some people have complained about that. They've been like, yo, man, sometimes it just can't be that close, man. And I'm just like, what? Like, what? It's not that big of a deal. But it is that big
of
a deal.
It is, so it is.
So I wanted to touch on something before we end this segment. You did mention that, you know, for example, like, touch is one of the big things that was important for you transitioning into this, you know, in your life, right? You were uncomfortable with it at one point, and then it changed. Yeah, you know, massage therapy changed your life. So massage therapy, you know, body work instilled some sort of mindset in you, right? You've changed you've evolved as a person through massage therapy. Getting to this next segment, I really do want to talk about mindset. I want to talk about lifestyle, not lifestyle, like, the modern connotation, you know, not diet, exercise, none of that, but where all that stuff starts, mindset, how the outlook on the world, because massage therapy, body work, it did change your outlook on the world. And I can see it. You have a very different mindset from everyone else that I've ever met. And that's what makes you so intriguing. That's what makes you such an attractive being, you know, like, I mean, that's, you know, I enjoy it. I mean, I really do. I'm really grateful, you know, to have met you. And I'm great for you to be on the show. Seriously. Thanks. So I definitely want to start next segment on lifestyle and mindset and toxic mindsets also. Like, what people are doing wrong out there. What have you learned? All right.
And for this next song, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. I asked during the break. And I'm like, I'm not even trying to disrespect the artist or the name. So if you want to take us out with this song, please.
Kalkanya, this is my song.
Okay.
I love this song. I don't even know how. I'm not going to butcher it either. Let's just play this song.
Is it Conce? Conce, C-O-N-C-E.
I think so. Is it
Conce? Yes. Y'all are Brazilian followers are going to know.
Well, it's going to be in the description, guys.
Y'all want to check it out, right? So good.
All right, enjoy this. To the goddamn checkbox, guys, and for those joining us, that was I'm gonna try to say this. All right,
we believe
that was Kalkanyar by Conce.
It's an H.
Boy. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, listen, man. That's how it was pronounced. I'm. Yes. For me.
In, oh, that's in Portuguese. The NH makes a nya sound.
Oh, I didn't know you told me that. Yeah. I didn't know. You, I thought he was just.
Cacanha, but con C. Okay. Wait. Word. And for once again, those joining us, we have Mel back on the set. Okay, 7 episodes later. Feel me? She's here telling us about her wonderful trip to Asia, her experience, you know, from food to the weather to the roads to just energy she was feeling to the breathtaking shots, the dangerous hikes, to the courses she was taking for her body work. You know what I'm saying? She's a massage therapist for about 6-7 years now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Okay, where she was telling us stories about her high-end experience, you know what I'm saying? Starting from the low, getting out of school, freaking massaging presidents from other countries here. So it's been a pretty dope conversation. And now we're going to get into the lifestyle of things. Alec mentioned that, you know, massage therapy really puts you in a different mindset and the power of touch. As Mel mentioned, she had a very negative connotation with touch through some traumatic experiences. And now that has been completely reversed through massage therapy. And we're going to dive deep into that. And yeah, so how about you start with the mindset that whether... All right, so now you can either start with the mindset you're in now or where you were before and then how that sort of changed through your experience with massage therapy. I think that'll be better, right?
Yeah.
So sort of like start where you were before, like your headspace.
It's a little journey, yeah.
Yeah. We're here.
Actually, I haven't taken the time to really reflect so much on where my mindset was before. Mm. I do know that when I did start massage therapy school, I was very depressed. Okay. Because I had spoken up about the sexual abuse that happened in my life, and I told my family about it, and it just didn't go the way I think I had expected it to. Yeah. And you know, that whole experience was very traumatic for me. So it really was a catalyst for me to go deeper into my spiritual journey, because I didn't feel safe with my family. So I really, really ventured off at that point on my soul searching kind of experience. And since that time, I've had really intense and beautiful, transformative, healing and spiritual experiences that I feel like have shaped and molded me into who I am today. And it wasn't without all of the deep shadow underworld kind of work. You know, I really feel that the last years I have really, really explored my shadows.
Hmm.
And that's an important point to bring up, I think, because we've all been through our own traumatic experiences, and there's so many things that are happening around us, and especially if you think about it collectively and globally in the world, what's happening, when you feel pain deeply, it connects you to all of the other pains in the world. And
allow yourself to be receptive to that pain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
You know.
Yeah. And I'm also a very empathetic person.
Right.
So I feel like feeling this pain deeply, and I've allowed myself to feel pain very deeply, I think that allowed for that space was created with that pain and has now created the capacity for me to also feel light very deeply and right. joy and happiness very deeply. And I think that in general, if I were to, you know, describe how I feel or what is the sensation inside of my body on a daily basis, I feel that a lot of compassion. I feel like I'm a very compassionate person and a very right. grateful person. And yeah, I don't know if there's any questions about any of that because there's so many ways that we can go, you know?
Kenneth, go ahead, bro.
I don't know if this is question is like too hard or anything, but was there any element of shame after you told them? So like, was it like, rather than showing you support, did they like try to shame you and make it like your fault? Because I've heard that from even from my own friends who've experienced something like that. They've been afraid to tell their family because they feel like they'll be shamed, or they know for a fact they will be. Or is that like what you experienced?
Yeah, I did.
Or anything similar?
Yeah, I did. I was told that it was my fault, that I provoked the situation.
Yeah, provoke is a big thing.
You know, a lot of them blamed it on me not being religious enough. you know, it's like everyone had their opinions about it, and I forgive them, and I feel compassion because I know that
that's a tough thing to hear.
Yeah. Their own realities just, too.
It's their reality.
Yeah.
But I also have learned that, man, that was really a really tough time. It was a really tough time because I was 18, you know, and I really felt like they were going to support me. I didn't have in my mind that it would be the opposite. I'm not saying that nobody in my family supported me. Yeah. My mom, my father, my sisters, like I have certain people that were like, I'm here for you.
That's good.
But I think the people that weren't, it just shocked me.
Yeah.
And it also is like when you put something out there like that, it is putting it out there. You know what I'm saying? So for example, like when it does happen to you, if it is between you and the person that, you know, perpetrated, right? It stays in that. And I know for a lot of things that happen with me, you know, like if there's something like, you know, negative that happens between me and another person, that's not gonna, you know, if I don't say it, it's not gonna be real to anyone else, kind of thing. So, you know, that is one way of you know, one way of living is sort of facing those things and putting it out there into the world. And also, you know, touching on, we might be jumping a little bit, but one thing that I got from you is that you're very receptive as a person, right? You take in a lot. And I feel like a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people are not receptive. And there are plenty of good things to be, plenty of good things to receive from the world. But when you're receptive, there's not really discrimination that happens. So you take in all the good and all the bad. And I feel like my opinion on why people might not be as receptive is because they have to face those negative things, not only from other people, but also be receptive to your own self, kind of thing. And, you know, it goes in with facing yourself and other people as well. I know it's a little bit of a loaded question, but how do you feel people should go about mindset-wise with receptivity? Should they be afraid of it? Should they embrace it? Should they own up to it, kind of thing? Like, that's, I don't know if it's a bit of a loaded question, but it's, I think it was an important one that I thought.
Thank you so much for asking that question. Yeah. It's a very powerful question. And I feel like it's very complex, but very simple at the same time. Yeah. And if I were to reflect on my own experience, I think it really comes down to courage for me, because it is going to be painful and it is going to be scary to open up your sensibility to everything that is, especially all that we are as human beings and all of our experiences and everything that we've been through. And there were times that I was so afraid of the feelings that were coming up or the things that I was looking at about myself, about the things I've experienced, but sometimes mostly just about me, like my shadows, like confronting the things that I thought were ugly, that I didn't like about myself. And what helped me through it, you know, is that courage. You have, not that you have to, but for me, it was like, I am fearless in this moment. And I had a lot of people that helped me through it. I also have mentors, spiritual mentors that helped me through this process, and people that I went to receive healing. And I think that we're not meant to do things alone. And it's important for us to have, you know, this team around you of support. And if you don't have it, you can create that shit. And I know that for a fact. And if anyone that's listening to this and you're going through a hard time and you're feeling alone, you're not alone. But the first thing, before I was even able to manifest the people that I now have in my life that create this sense of like, man, I feel so supported right now, but I didn't have that at one point. At one point, I felt so alone. I felt so alone. I felt like nobody understood me. And I only had myself. So it does take that courage to firstly look at yourself, open yourself up to everything, and to feel everything deeply and move through that healing process. And as you start to align yourself more with all that you are and not rejecting the parts of yourself that you don't like, but coming into contact with it and embracing it, I feel like the more you become in alignment with yourself, the more that you start to broadcast that sort of frequency for the right people to come into your life. And then you start to build your support system. And this is it, you know, like.
And I think you should, I think I like that, you know, that idea of first owning yourself and being okay with yourself. And, you know, in this society, we're told to do a lot of things. We're told to feel a lot of things. We're literally guided in every step of the what should be a personal process. Mm. Your wants, your desires, they're all dictated to us at some certain level. Mm-hmm. Understand that, guys. Like, it really is. Really meditate on that. Everything that you like, for the most part, has been made for you to like, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, when you start to own what really is yours, right, your personal desires, what you want, this is something I've been thinking about a lot lately, you know, radiate that to the people around you. Let it be infectious. Let other people, you know, feel okay to like what they like despite what other people, you know, feel about that around them. And as I get older, I feel like it's getting more and more, like, I feel more and more okay with it. You know, I'm feeling more and more at peace with myself. I'm very different from other people. And I'm, every day I'm getting better at, you know, being okay with it. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've never not been okay with it, but I'm getting better at being okay. You feel me? Like, I was never, like, rejecting myself. But, you know, like, you know,
not yet. I know exactly what you're talking about, because even so, it's crazy that before the episode, I was telling him, I was like, a lot of things I've been thinking about keep popping up, and so it's just been interesting too that you talk about how you went through that. You told your family, and a lot of them weren't supportive, and that's something a lot of people have gone through. Maybe not that exact situation, but going into something where it's like it's something very important to you, something very drastic in your life. You're like, all right, this situation, you're like, all right, I'm expecting, I need support here. Mm-hmm. I need something to help me. And boom, you don't get it. So you could have went two ways. And you started going that way a little bit when you started feeling alone. And you're like, all right, I need to go venture by myself. And it's, to me, the great thing about you is that, look at your outlook on life now. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people are like, sad to say, but like, that could make a lot of people suicidal.
And I was.
Yeah, yeah. So you feel me, which is crazy. So look at the spectrum you're on now. You feel me? So which to me just shows the truth in that. You know what I'm saying? Which is important for a lot of people. But as far as finding yourself, so when you went on that journey, when you decided, all right, I got to do this by myself, was it like a thing like, I need to learn how to live with myself? Was that what you were trying to find? Were you trying to find the way to live with yourself, you know what I'm saying? And it's, I don't know how I'm getting that off the right way. Kind of learning how you, all right, I don't need to depend on other people type shit. I don't know how to say how I'm trying to say it, but because that's kind of something I've been, because you know how you said, oh, I've been more comfortable being myself.
Right.
The way it's been in my head is, for me lately, it's kind of like, I realize shit that I do that might bother other people, shit like that. Like, I'm just realizing myself more now, right? And I'm realizing my presence more in the world now, right? Right?
How you affect, you mean, how you affect the people around you, kind of thing?
All type of things. And I'm starting to, like, I feel like lately I've been loving myself a lot more, you know what I'm saying? Learning, I feel like I'm learning, I'm meeting myself, you know what I'm saying? And learning a lot more about myself. It's basically the same shit you're doing, you just said a different way.
Right,
you're experiencing, you think you're experiencing it a different way, you know what I'm saying? Right. That's all it is.
For sure.
So for me, it's me, I'm trying to, there's a lot of things I don't like about myself too.
Right. But and it's important to understand those.
That. Yeah, yeah.
And to know the difference between, you know, something that is a toxic aspect of yourself versus something that's, oh yeah, that's just me kind of thing.
And toxic in a toxic aspect in the sense that it's detrimental to me and people around me.
Right.
I'm gonna be honest with you. That whole "it's just me" shit, that shit gets me so fucking tight. I hate that. This dude right here, all the time. Yo, bro, just don't, you know what I'm saying? Just, if you can, just try to, yo, bro, but nah, but that's just me. And I'm like, yo, perp, but like, you can't.
I was stubborn too, bro. Like, I mean, it's all around the table, to be honest, bro. It really is all around the table.
But also, too, but it also, another thing, so recently I've realized what that stems from me. I noticed that when I do that, it's crazy, son. Yo, this is nuts. I've been thinking about this lately.
Yeah.
I realize when I do shit like that, it's because I have no real reason, and that's a trigger. That's a trigger. Bro, yes, listen. I don't have a real reason, but it's a trigger from when I was younger to, it's something I would do when I was younger to just kind of dead shit. You feel me? And it's a habit.
Right.
You feel me? And I noticed that with my parents, too, when my parents, like, sometimes, like, when I was younger, right? If my parents were calling me and it was after like fucking 8, it was for one reason. Where the fuck you at?
Right.
I'm fucking 22 now. Like, it doesn't matter. My mom just, if my mom is calling me, it's because she's like, yo, what's this? You want to talk to me?
Right.
It's so much of a habit for me that when she calls me, it's like, oh my God, where you niggas at? Her and my dad, that's my reaction.
Yeah.
She just want to talk to me, but it's just, it's the habit. And I try to talk to them and say, listen, it's both our faults. It's y'all fault for only calling me to fucking bitch at me. And it's my fault for like still holding on to that. Right, you know what I'm saying? Right. But me learning about myself, you know what I'm saying? I'm starting to realize that now. So now when I get the call and I'm like, out of habit, oh shit, all right, man, you know, just chill. Then I'm back and I'm good. You know what I'm saying? But learning about yourself, you know what I'm saying? It's fucking great, man.
I actually noticed in this whole conversation, I'm not sure if this would apply to you in your scenario, being that you sort of felt alone. But I feel like you started to notice these things, bro, because not you noticed it in yourself because it was being exploited to you. You had us three telling you, like, yo, this and that, this and that.
It took a while for it to resonate real quick.
But because, you know what it is? I think you would have scenarios outside of us four, and you realize you're doing the same shit that you did to us three in this scenario, and now you're like, yo, damn, like, now I see what Chuck, Alec, and Ken was talking about.
And different people react differently.
You feel me? Right. So now, back to you, like, did you have people sort of exploiting these flaws that you accepted and got over? Or you literally just, it was just like a self dive into your, like, you feel me? Am I making sense?
Was it easy to identify?
Was it easy? Yeah. Or like, was it in your face and you were just like oblivious and just hard headed, like, no, that's just me type shit?
So this is also a complex question, but it's not. It's so simple. Everyone is our reflection, you know, everyone is our mirror and everyone is our teacher. So I always see myself in other people. And, I think my main motivating force at that time in the beginning of this spiritual, deep spiritual journey was wanting to learn about myself, right? That's my main, actually still to this day, that's what inspires me so much. I just want to learn. I want to learn because there's a whole universe inside of here and inside of each one of you guys. And it's so easy for us to fall back onto our habits. So I feel compassion for you because I too, we all go through this, you know, we have our habitual ways and when somebody reflects that to us, we get defensive.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that with more increased awareness, because it's taken a lot of time for me to increase my receptivity to the point that I have, and it's going to continue developing. But to be able to have this mindset where you're able to have like this 0 point consciousness, like, you're looking at things from a neutral space, not anymore reacting from your past experiences and now coming from this empty space and being able to now create your reality unbiased, the way that you want it. And actually, I noticed that this changed everything for me because I was reacting to people in my family and my friends from these past experiences. But if you think about it, all that exists is right now. Those past experiences just are memories. Mm-hmm. It's not real.
You're letting the past form your present.
Right. Yep. Right. So now, like, actually, my wife helped me a lot with this because she'd like, you know, how about you just be open to a different possibility? And in my mind, I was so stuck on that old shit that I was like, nah, that person's always going to have that kind of reaction. That person's always going to be that way. And then once I literally just said to myself, you know what? What if they could be different?
Let me just test it.
Yeah. Right.
People started changing, bro. Like, people around me started changing.
Because you were thinking different, too.
You know what I found also? I'm sorry to cut you off. That, so I look at people and I try to study. So people try to find their way around society in different ways, right? Try to understand the people around them different ways. I usually take a more, you know, sit back and watch and really take in. I try to understand why people do the things that they do. Try to understand also myself. Why do I do the things that I do? The habitual things. What is the core of why I'm doing this? When it comes to relationships with people, when it comes to habits that I do every day, is this something that I was taught? Is this something that I truly want to do? This goes back into my real wants and desires versus things that are made for us. Really trying to get to the core of all that. When you understand why people do the things that they do, not saying that you should go ahead and start manipulating people, but you can really create the environment that you want around you. And depending on how you want to use it, you can use it constructively to, you know, to help other people to find their own autonomy, right? Or, you know, you can be manipulative and stuff like that. I try to do the more, you know, constructive thing.
No, I'm not gonna lie though. Like, when you think someone gonna do some shit different, they really will, man. Because I've been testing that for like the past couple of months. And yo, shit is crazy, it's man. Because what you can do. I literally try to avoid certain scenarios to avoid a certain outcome that I know will happen because I've been through it. But then I will just be like, yo, check, like, it's gonna happen. Do it anyway. You never know what's gonna happen. Next thing you know, boom, the opposite happens, and like,
we just have all these preconceptions.
You feel me? Yeah, the preconceptions is what kills us. And I'm a big believer on yo, fuck the past. It is what it is. Don't let that shit affect you. But then again, it's so hard to take your own advice because I find myself sitting here thinking what the fuck happened 2.5 months ago and something similar is happening right now. And I'm like, yo, damn, like, oh, this is bothering me. This is why I don't want to do this because this happened before. And it's like, when the fuck am I ever going to get rid of that thought? You feel me? That shit, it kind of blows mine, to be honest. And I beat myself up about it a lot. You know what I'm saying? And I'm still trying to get over that hump. And that shit is tough, though, man.
Aww,
it really is. Low key.
No. I feel that. And I, the past is valuable, though. It's not about throwing it away, but it's more like extracting the wisdom from it instead of
exactly learning
just
from it.
Sulking in the trauma and the drama and the
where's the lesson in it?
You just said it done, but
right.
Right.
But I actually wanted to touch on that point once more because it's so powerful to me because I started to notice that people started to change around me because I was identifying with the highest potential inside of them instead of their past experiences and their past behaviors. And I noticed that people appreciate that so much. Like, people don't like to be associated with aspects of themselves that they're ashamed of all the right. time. And like to feel like, oh, this person's already expecting this kind of behavior from me. You know, it feels good. It feels refreshing when someone comes to you and they already are seeing you in your highest light. They see like creator in you.
Or see the untapped potential. Right.
This is what I try to do with every person, you know?
Yeah, I think it's a beautiful thing when you can see the potential in someone and you try to go. Have you ever had a negative experience when you tried to do that? When someone reacted with you in a way that you might not have wanted it, you know? Or they might not have... They might not have felt okay with, you know, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like a negative experience with someone else.
Yeah, I think, well, definitely I have had, especially with my family, you know, because okay. I think that people are so used to their habits and I have such a different perspective and I've developed just a very different texture to me that I feel like sometimes people don't know what to do with it. You know, like I approach them and they're like, what the fuck do I do?
Well, they've never encountered that before. And that's the thing. It's like, how do you, right. And the thing is that a lot of times, and we talked about this last time when we were at the crib, you know, it's like, you know, if someone doesn't know, or if they've never encountered something like that before, they're going to associate that with the closest thing that they know. And a lot of times they'll misconstrue, you know, sorts of ideas about what you're trying to do, you know? And so I feel you there. Not completely. I really do.
Yeah. And then, you know, sometimes they went sideways, but, and those were difficult for me because it it's hard when you're coming from a genuine space and you're trying to create the best outcome and it's just not happening. You're like, fuck, man.
It happens all the time.
But, you know, it's again, coming back with that, extracting the wisdom from that. And that is our, like, for me, patience. These situations is my training sessions because it's so easy to flow when people and you are vibing, right? Like you're feeling good, even when you're meditating or when you have your spiritual practice, it's so easy to be in this high vibe. But when is the real nitty gritty training happening? It's happening when you're in conflict with people, when you're experiencing these difficult conversations. So instead of me having this outlook and being pissed and like, I might go through those emotions too, but it's a very fast turnover time where like I'll feel whatever I have to feel, but I go straight to, okay, what was this training for? Like, am I training intolerance, patience, forgiveness, compassion, empathy? Like, what am I now applying to this? Acceptance?
Extrapolating the lesson from
right.
most wild thing.
Like, because how am I evolving myself in this situation? Because I can't make myself... It's a big part of my practice in my life is shifting from this state or mentality of being a victim of my life and being the creator of my life, you know, because I'm not no pawn in this life, you know, fuck that, for real, guys, like, ain't nobody up in this room, we ain't gonna be no pawns, and just be, like, played, like, with toys, because that's how we, guys, that's how we are, for real. If you think about the external experiences, we just allow all of our emotions and all of the things that happen in our life to just control us, like, puppets, like,
and for those things to be controlled as well, you know, it's just layers of control. It's layers.
Programs, you know? So it really fuck is. That. It really is. We out here to create our own reality, you know, break away from all that.
Yeah.
And create what you want.
You know what's crazy, though? After hearing this whole conversation for, like, the past hour and a half, now I can see how you got through the whole polyamory thing.
Yeah.
And now I can understand why you tried what you tried, why you did what you did, why you trusted your wife with shit, why you took those chances, and, like, seeing where your mindset was prior to that and how you got there, like, it makes so much more sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. You came to a certain place within yourself first before you even
decided to even
get into it. Even also, too, like, you didn't need to go through that until you went through your own experience first. You get what I'm saying? And I think that was the biggest takeaway, especially what I got from it first, is like, because that was something I was always interested in, like, not that I was like, oh, I want to go do it, but more like, I just want to learn more about it. And basically what it taught me, and just not only related to that, but just in life, like, find yourself first, you know what I'm saying? A lot of those things will present themselves when you yourself can flourish and benefit us, you know what I'm saying, from a situation like that, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You want to help, like, what's the shit that Biggie said? Whatever, you want to help the world, you got to help yourself. You know what I'm saying?
No, for sure.
But literally, yeah.
I mean, Bob Marley?
Or Bob Marley.
Michael Jackson said it too. He said, if you want to change
the world, a lot of masters said that shit. Well, everybody. Different languages, different ways.
Either, yeah. You know what I'm saying? But that's been, I feel like that's been the biggest, that's been like the theme of my life recently. You know what I'm saying? You got to help yourself.
I feel like that's a very common theme amongst our generation, especially right now in this age gap of like 22 or like 26. Yeah,
but people confuse it with being selfish.
Yeah. Yeah, like, that's a fact.
Yeah, yeah. I think the mainstream thing too, cause sometimes it's like selfishness. You know what I'm saying? When you see people like fucking flexing and shit like that. No, I'm saying, but it is what it is. But I think it's just putting yourself in a position where you can make others better. You know what I'm saying? I think just living for other people.
And it starts. And you're right. It does start with yourself at that.
No, yeah.
In that sense, or at least you have to be at some. Your mind has to be in the right place. You might not have to have everything figured out. Because I don't think we're ever going to be done figuring ourselves out.
Nope.
But at least be on that journey. At least be, you know, on that path and have the right people around you. Like you said,
absolutely.
The support system is absolutely necessary. You need to keep yourself on track. Unfortunately, and I'm real with myself with this, I don't have the discipline for, you know, for certain things. And, you know, the people around me do keep me on track with that. But one thing that I wanted us to all talk about, I know we talked about before, the importance of gratitude, the importance of being gracious about everything and being thankful for everything. And, you know, when around you, you radiate that sense of gratefulness, like you've constantly thanked us, you know, for us having you here and stuff like that, even though it really went both ways. Like it means a lot. So how important is gratitude in life? Showing gratitude, practicing gratitude. How do you practice gratitude, and how does the opposite, you know, the sense of entitlement that everyone has that I feel is just toxic as fuck out there. It really is that, you know,
I do want to hear that, but I do want to let us know that we do have a short amount of time, so.
All right.
You feel me? Now, this is a perfect ending. This is a perfect ending segue because this is gratitude, essentially what, like he said, is mutual. Right. Here. So, yeah, talk. What's up?
I'm practicing gratitude right now. You know? Thank you so much, for real. Gratitude has completely eradicated so many limiting thoughts and beliefs in my body and my whole being. And it's something that I practice on a daily basis. And there's several ways to practice this. This could be a whole fucking podcast on itself about gratitude.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But it is something that I feel so deeply. And I allow that feeling of gratitude to really resonate through my whole body. And I feel like this has created joy in my life that I have never thought was possible. Like, I am so fucking happy, yo. Like, I really am grateful for it all. I'm grateful for everything. So thank you. Awesome. I don't really... I hope that you can just feel that, you know?
I felt because, that shit, word.
Because, you know, there's so much I can say about it, but it's important that we just feel it. Perfect. So if I could leave you guys with just one thing.
Please.
You know, if you can really every single day sit down with that feeling of gratitude in your body, you know, and allow that to extend towards your day and feel it as often as you can. There's so many fucking things to be grateful for, man. Like, there's so many things. Down. We just go through our life. We don't realize. But there's so many beautiful things happening. So, and the more you feel that shit, the happier you're going to be.
Absolutely.
And the more lit your life is going to be.
That's a fact. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I definitely got to second everything she just said, man. I mean, you got to, feel me? Oh, that was beautiful. I ain't going front. You kind of, like, when you was like, I'm so happy, I felt that. Like, I looked right at you. I saw all the emotion. I'm like, yes, I feel you.
So much happy. I couldn't handle those.
I hope y'all felt that. I got to look away. So many, so much. Nah, but for those,
it is beautiful. And I think we all just, I mean, we show gratitude in our own ways. Absolutely. But I think stepping it up a notch doesn't hurt either. You know what I'm
saying?
Step
that shit up.
Yeah, I mean, it really, just practice. I mean, we're all here. Don't think you're here on your own accord. You're here and you're succeeding because of other people. You know, it's just a fact. Yeah. And we like to pretend like, oh, no one did it but me type shit. You know, that whole mentality type shit. Yeah, it's like, oh, no, no
one did it. You know,
I can think of a few people like that.
You know, it's like, no, bro, like you, like, you know, it's, you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, that whole mentality, like, no, I got this. I'm saying, no, you're not self-made. You know, there's a whole world that's behind you, the shoulders that you're stepping on, I mean, that you're standing on right now, and thank them. You know?
Absolutely.
And, yeah, I don't know how much time we have.
Nah, we're actually about to wrap it up right now, man. Melissa,
thank
I don't
you
even
guys.
Know.
Mel.
Thank you. Like
Intuitive Vibes.
Thank you.
Once again, guys, you can follow her at intuitive.vibes with a Z. Was that correct?
Yes.
Awesome.
Well, have it like texting.
Facts. You already know where to find my guy, Ken, at underscore in every color. Alec. At Alec with the K underscore Sergio, HPA, HPen of 730, and your boy at CHEC underscore 7. And of course, the checkbox on all platforms, SoundCloud, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play. We are all at the checkbox. That is THECHECBOX, guys. And we're going to have Chan take you out with Feel This Way. Enjoy.
I swear.